Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're going to be reading here from Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Yeah, let's go with that. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to be together tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just continue to move through this service, Lord God. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord Jesus. Open up our minds, open up our hearts to what your word has to say to us tonight. In your precious name, amen. So Jesus had met Matthew at a tax collector's booth a little bit before this verse that we just read, and he was spending, you know, some time at Matthew's house because he saw Matthew, said, "Follow me." And what does Matthew do? He just gets up and follows him. I don't have anybody in my life that would just follow me when I just say follow me, especially my kids. It takes like 45 times. Hey, go to bed, right? So that would feel good. Just say follow me. And they do. And so he's hanging out with Matthew and his tax collector's buddies at Matthew's house, and they're just hanging, they're talking, they're getting to know each other. Jesus is spending some real time with these people. And the Pharisees saw this group of men that Jesus is hanging out with, and they just could not understand why he would be hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And they're actually a little bit upset about it, and they ask, why is he doing this? So Jesus overhears, and he responds in that way, first saying it's not the healthy who need a doctor, right, but it's the sick. And then says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And to understand this, we have to understand the context first. Pharisees were all about sacrifice. They were really, really good at it. All about living outwardly moral and good lives, while at the same time their hearts really weren't changed, and they didn't really know what it meant to have a true relationship with the Father. And so let's take a look at what sacrifice, the difference between sacrifice and mercy really is. So just the plain old Webster's definition of these two words. Sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. We all make sacrifices in our lives for all sorts of different reasons. I sacrificed my life so that I could have children. That was a joke. Now, mercy, on the other hand, is compassion or forgiveness shown toward someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. I volunteered quite a few years ago for a couple of years at the Lost and Found Grief Center. I don't know if you've ever heard of that place, but so at Lost and Found, they take in kids, not take in, but they work with kids who have lost a loved one recently in their lives, whether that's a parent or a sibling. And so I spent some time, I actually had a little bit of grief that I dealt with in high school, so it felt like something I wanted to do to kind of give back. And so I spent some time volunteering with this. And I think when I first started, I really wanted to just feel good, you know. I wanted to give something back and just kind of sacrifice a little bit of time to help somebody else or a few other people. And so I did that for a time, and it was, you know, it was rewarding for me to go and take that time and sacrifice some of the time of my life to do that. But then as I started to really, week after week, meet with these same kids over and over and over and hear their stories and understand, you know, what they're really going through and start to develop these relationships with these little kids. They were 5, 6, 7 years old who are going through so much at such a young age. It really started to kind of change my reason for being there. It stopped being really about me and my sacrifice and became about them as people and what I could do in their lives and how Jesus could work through me in their lives. So it seems like sacrifice may be more about a me thing. I sacrifice my time or my money for a specific feeling that I can get, while mercy shifts the focus off myself and onto others. Mercy is about looking at those around you as people who need Jesus. And Jesus showed mercy on earth by developing relationships with the people the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with, just based on their lifestyle and how they lived. So mercy and relationships have a tight bond here. And I'm fine with the definition of mercy that we read from Webster. But Jesus kind of takes it a few steps further here and shows that it's not just about compassion for people. It's about those relationships that you develop with another human being. You see, when Jesus was hanging with these tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees saw just that, nameless tax collectors and sinners. These were people they wanted nothing to do with. They didn't want to be around them. Because in their eyes, just associating with them would condone their lifestyle. And the Pharisees really just had a quest for perfection and caused them to really look with disdain at sinners. Having dinner with somebody back in that culture implied a very deep association. So when they saw Jesus doing that, they assumed that he was condoning their lifestyle and their behavior, and they are enraged by this. But Jesus, the one who spent his entire life breaking down barriers, racial barriers, gender barriers, breaking down those cultural barriers, Jesus saw people, individuals that he cared about, people he wanted to actually be around. It wasn't an obligation. It wasn't a sacrifice in any way for him to be around them. He knew their names. He wanted relationship with these kind of outcasts in the Pharisees' point of view. And it wasn't about condoning their lifestyle. It wasn't about taking light their sinfulness. This was about his love for his people, God's people. And he wanted them to experience the fullness of life. So Jesus took that word compassion, and I like to think he lopped off those first three letters, C-O-M, and spelt it just passion. Because Jesus had passion for people, passion to see every person come to a relationship with the Father. And I think we can get this kind of mixed up sometimes. As Christians, we can tend to fall on one extreme or the other. Either we're like the Pharisees, and we want nothing to do with sinners. We want nothing to do with people that can't seem to act right and be in the lifestyle that we know is godly and true. Or, like we see in a lot of church culture today, sadly, we end up on the other side where we're so afraid to offend that we almost go as far as condoning certain lifestyles that aren't consistent with being a Christ follower. So going back to serving people and volunteering and kind of sacrificing, when you do that, you know, the holidays are coming up. We have opportunities for outreach over these next couple of months here at Central. When you're doing those things, don't view what you do for others in Jesus' name as faithless sacrifices, or even just an act of compassion, because to love like Jesus is to love the person, the individual. Ask God to give you a passion for the people that you serve. Secondly, to have mercy is to reflect the heart of God. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Truly, these five words reveal God's heart and how he wants to transform ours. So we need to seek and understand the heart of God before we can even act this way ourselves. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, kind of explains the heart of God. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. How many of us are slow to anger? I'm not sure I am. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We all know God is obviously a God of wrath, and he's a God of justice, but more so, more than anything, he's a God of mercy and forgiveness. The only reason why we're here today. How often are we quick to become angry and hold on to these feelings of anger? So we need to ask the questions. Are we being gracious with people? Are we showing mercy even to people who don't seem to deserve it? Because we certainly don't deserve it from God, but he gives it to us every single day. And I think mercy is kind of a difficult thing right now in this world we live in. In our country and in our world, it seems the levels of hatred, fear, and violence just continue to rise. You see it in our politics, man, in the realm of social justice even. I mean, there's just hatred everywhere you turn. And unfortunately, even among Christian leaders, as we've seen somewhat recently. And, you know, these may be things that have been happening for a long time, and I'm only 33 years old. Things have maybe always been this bad. But the way news travels today, I think it's just a little bit different. And we all get to kind of be in on it now. It's a little bit different with social media. We're not immune to it. We can't hide from it. And we're just not blind to it in any way anymore. And it's interesting that our society says that we should accept all beliefs, right? Every single one. Except when any one of those beliefs offends yours. And I think we can get trapped in this too as Christians, right? Get trapped into this way of thinking. How many times do you scroll through social media and see a fellow Christian's post that just spews hatred towards other groups of people? Recently, I saw a post from someone applauding students for tearing down posters from an LGBTQ group in a high school. That hurts. Those are people. Those are people that God loves, right? And listen, there's a lot out there in our faces of things that we don't agree with and that offends our beliefs. But when we react to those things, like the world reacts to us as Christians, aren't we just proving them right? We can be so much better than that, so much better. We're behaving in an opposite way that Jesus taught. He would ask us to offer mercy to those people. He's not looking for us to live some perfect lives and then turn around and condemn others. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, he said. And this reminds me of the parable of the unmerciful servant. I think we all know this one. The servant who owes his master a sizable debt. And he goes to him and pleads for more time and just give me more time to pay this off. I can't do it right now. And what does the master do? He forgives his debt completely and says, go on your way. And as he's leaving, he runs into another servant who happens to owe him money. And he wants his money at that point, and the servant pleads to him, please give me more time, I can't pay it right now. And the guy that had been forgiven of his debt says to this one, no, you need to pay me, and I'm going to have you thrown in jail until you do. So then the master hears this, and obviously is very unhappy with this unmerciful servant, and calls him back in and says, you're going to have to pay me as well, and we're going to have you thrown into jail. God expects us to forgive like he forgives. He expects us to love like he loves and to have mercy on others like he has had mercy on us. If we act like that unmerciful servant, or if we act like the Pharisees, God will not honor that. He expects more. And in these times, even the talk of mercy seems sort of like wishful thinking, right? I mean, like how do you offer mercy in a world that doesn't seem to have any for you? But I would argue that maybe right now mercy matters more than ever. We can't be like the Pharisees. We got to be like Jesus, because Jesus always looked beyond a person's history and towards a person's future. And that's the heart that we need. And we need to ask God every single day when we wake up, Lord, give us your eyes, give us your heart to see and to treat people like you. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. This is actually a quote from the Old Testament in Hosea 6, verses 6. It says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." In Hosea's day, God's people were really, really good at bringing sacrifice. They were still good at that. But they had forsaken mercy, and they had abandoned mercy because they gave up, really, they gave up the knowledge of God, and they gave up the knowledge of truth. And God would rather, what he's saying here is he'd rather have our hearts right than have any sort of sacrifice. He wants our hearts full of truth and full of mercy. The last point I want to make is it's not, this message to us is not just a message to us. It's also a message for us. I think we may have a hard time with mercy toward others because we don't allow ourselves to truly experience God's mercy. I'll tell you what I mean. When you were growing up, were you ever afraid of telling your parents something? My parents are here. I was always afraid to tell them things. Not really. Not because anything they did, because it was what I was doing. And it was because of fear, right? Your fear of being punished, or maybe they would love you a little less. The countless things that I've told them now that I did back then. So instead of talking with them about it, what would you do? You'd hide it, you'd keep it to yourself, you'd deal with your own guilt. And it was actually a little bit more difficult that way, I would say. But I think we do this with God too. We allow our disobedience, our failures, to keep us separated from him, separated from that mercy that he wants to lend us. Maybe we feel like we can't live up to his expectations. Maybe we picture his holiness and think, you know, we could never be truly accepted by him because of our constant failures. But this is truly a false way of approaching your relationship with God. Because not one of your sins can change the love that he has for you. Which also means, by the way, there's no sacrifice that can change the love that he has for you. Of course, he wants you to turn away from your sin. He wants all of us to do that. And turn away from the things of this world. But not because of largely because of some sacrifice. It's more because he wants you to experience the fullness that he can bring in your life. So Jesus in Matthew 9:13 is saying that God wants you to love people more than he wants to observe ritual holiness. We know that. But there's something deeper there as well. He's telling you that his deepest desire, the thing that is most important to him in all the world, is that people come to him. They get to experience his love, and find themselves washed clean. He's a God of mercy. He's not looking for your perfection. He wants you to experience his forgiveness and draw near to him. As I conclude, I want to quote Pope Francis. He penned a letter to the Catholic Church late 2015. He called it the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And we'll read that real quick. As we can see in sacred scripture, mercy is a key word that indicates God's action towards us. He does not limit himself merely to affirming his love, but makes it visible and tangible. Love, after all, can never be just an abstraction. By its very nature, it indicates something concrete, intentions, attitudes, and behaviors that are shown in daily living. The mercy of God is his loving concern for each one of us. He feels responsible, that is, he desires our well-being, and he wants to see us happy, full of joy, and peaceful. This is the path which the merciful love of Christians must also travel. As the Father loves, so do his children. Just as he is merciful, so we are called to be merciful to each other. So he's saying mercy is not just some abstract thing or way of thinking. This is his tangible love towards us that he shows us every single day, which literally changes us from the inside out if we allow it. And he wants you to experience his mercy. He wants you to experience a real, every minute of the day relationship with him. And through that, he wants to change you. He wants to give you a heart full of mercy towards those in your life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? God wants us to move beyond the idea of sacrifice. Those things that we kind of feel the obligation to, right? Maybe just to feel a little more religious or better about ourselves. He wants us to move past that and move into a place of mercy and relationship. Jesus didn't hang out with Matthew and his buddies out of some obligation. It wasn't about that in any way. He loved those people because they were people and they were individuals, and he saw them and he knew them. He wanted relationships with them. So if Jesus could do that, the only guy that ever lived on this earth who could have actually looked down on those people, stooped to their level, then I think we unworthy sinners should be able to do that too. What's that? Let that be our prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you again. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would change us, Lord God. Change our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us be merciful to those around us, Lord God. Lord, people, the people that wrong us in any way, Lord Jesus, give us merciful hearts towards those people. And Lord, especially to the people that around us that just live differently than we do, that don't know you, Lord God, and are sinning. And Lord, just give us soft hearts for those people, that we would see them, Lord Jesus, with your eyes, not our own, Lord God. Change us, Lord Jesus. Make us more like you. In your name, amen.